Check. Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hello and greetings, everybody. It is a hump day Wednesday. Get you through the middle of your work week. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris is wherever Chris is. We've got Rick Church on the other side of the glass once again with the ones and twos. And we are off and running for the next 4 hours right here on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. You can follow me on Twitter at CraigESPN. Follow Pete Shepherd at PShep326. If you check us out on our Facebook site, we're older. We did the app. We did the app, Pete Shepherd. I am not happy with how I'm going to look in the future.
I look like... if I had the same hat on as Michael Corleone at the last 10 seconds of Godfather 3 when he's sitting in that little area in Sicily and then falls off the chair and dies.
Yeah.
That's how I could look.
Wow. Some people on social media said you actually look younger, like you're a Benjamin Button.
I challenge that. as I do much in life, yeah.
I look very old.
Chris has been compared to...
what, he looks,
it's
he looks
gone past. Now it's not Ellen DeGeneres anymore.
Yeah.
Now he's Megan Rapinoe. An older Megan Rapinoe.
Well, about a day older. He still looks younger than anybody. It's unbelievable.
But it is quite funny. We tweeted it out. I put it on... it's on the Facebook page.
All right. So go check that out. That'll be some fun. All right. Here's what we're going to do today. We got a pretty busy day. We are still keeping an eye on the third and final day of the SEC Media Days. Everybody is interested in Nick Saban, for better or for worse.
I saw it live this morning. He was on at 10 o'clock.
He wasn't as loquacious as... I mean, does he want to be there?
No, I didn't get that feeling like he didn't want to be there. I just think he was quite robotic. We're not going to bore you with the first several minutes of the press conference.
That's Nick
Saban. I purposely watched it live, and I knew we were taping it back here before the show.
Yeah.
But the Q&A is okay. Later on, when he's with Finney and Greg McElroy, and who else is with? But a little bit better. Some interesting information, some controversial information.
Threw some people under the bus.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, so we'll dabble with both of those. We are also keeping an ear at the ACC.
Yeah, I mean,
got a bone to pick with the ACC.
It's not a bone anymore. Now it's like a brachiosaurus bone. This is not. I don't know what they're doing.
They're trying to compete with the SEC, and they're failing miserably.
You can't get any sound from what's going on. Willie Taggart spoke today at FSU. Unless you watched it live on the special link to ESPN, they didn't do any highlights from it. They didn't tape it and isolate it. So we're endeavoring to try to get that. Dabo Swinney speaking at 4:15 today live. We're trying to get that. Willie spoke earlier today, Coach Taggart, at 12:15. He was, or 11:15. He was the first one to go. Tomorrow, Manny Diaz of Miami will speak, but the problem with the ACC, it's ridiculous how they didn't launch their network for this media day. It's not till August 22nd. They don't have all their cable packages signed up yet. No, I know the SEC somewhat went through that a few years ago.
Yeah.
I think 5 years ago when they came on,
right?
And there's always last second stuff, and I get it. And this finance to be worked out, but this is like opening a restaurant and
not having
a head chef and not having your full menu together. You only get one crack at it, usually. You know, that's why 60% of restaurants that open fail in 6 months.
I agree.
You don't know what you're doing.
Look, you feel like you're second fiddle to the SEC. I mean, everything's
the
SEC.
It's the same network. It's ESPN. It's the same thing.
But the problem, and again, for those that are listening, maybe you're a Florida State fan. You're like, why are you playing all this SEC stuff this week? Well, because it's available.
Well, and it started today.
And it started earlier, right?
The ACC started today.
We would like to give equal time to the SEC and the ACC. The ACC is making it difficult by not, you know, being 5 years behind the times.
Oreo says ESPN is so much up SEC, but it's obnoxious. No, I understand.
But the ACC's got Clemson and Miami and Florida
and
State.
And Virginia. It's not the same cachet as the SEC. Let's be honest. But here's the thing, Oreo, is that whether you like the SEC or not, I think it's a very good program. They have good shows top to bottom. Peter Burns was excellent this morning with McElroy and company. And they have good shows there throughout the day. The Big Ten sucks. The Big Ten Network stinks.
Hey, now.
Stinks.
They're making more money than all you put combined.
Which I challenge that, too.
Challenge it all you want. They are the money maker. They're printing money up there in the Big Ten.
Manny Diaz is going to come out and say, go Gators. No, he's not, 1984. No, he's not. But that's the problem is you can watch you can keep the SEC Network on all day and be some entertained if you are a college football fan. Now, I know people think, you know, fine, he's up Alabama's behind and
Viney.
A lot of that stuff. And are there some prejudices against the, not so much the ACC, but the Big Ten. If you're a Big Ten fan, maybe you have a bigger gripe. You'd be second fiddle.
By the way, their media day is Thursday and Friday. We're going to try and effort Jim Harbaugh's press conference.
Yeah.
And maybe Ryan Day as well.
Yeah. But it's the fact that the ACC network is not going to be available until August 22nd, I don't know why you wouldn't have made a greater effort, the powers at be, in broadcast. This is what I don't – 32 years in this business, Craig, and it still stuns me. Even if they couldn't get all the cable contracts together.
You still go
live.
You
don't wait till the last second. Do some, get it on something, anything.
Yeah, I
don't care what it is. Get it on Dish Network, DirecTV, whatever outlet you can get it on, you get it on right now. Then you worry about the rest of it later.
You only get the debut once. I mean,
yes.
You got to be out there before
Why would you not
have your media day later?
And
I
then
don't know.
What are we going to get? Like Wake Forest soccer or something? The opening game? I mean, something like that? And the AC, I mean, is that what we're going to get?
I don't know.
The first game, whatever. I mean,
well,
they have a lot to be proud
well
of.
Maybe.
They got Clemson defending national champs. They got Virginia defending national champs in hoops and a decent football team. There's a lot to a lot for them to brag about. And the fact that they weren't ready for this media day stuns me.
But they were never going to be.
Years.
It wasn't like they dropped the ball here. It's like they were never going to be ready. They announced that their debut would be in August of 2019.
Why?
I don't know. That's just
why?
Bad foresight.
Why? I don't understand.
So, look, we're doing our best to do equal time between ACC and SEC.
Trust me, you want to give as much Big Ten coverage, ACC, SEC.
We're still talking about the ACC later on today.
Yeah.
Next hour, we're going to dive into that quite a bit, a little bit.
We're going
to get into Nick Saban a little bit here in just a few moments.
Well, I can give you some quotes from Coach Taggart today, and that's about it, because I can't get freaking audio.
All right. Now, other things we have to get to today. We will have Jeff Nixon, friend of the program from Stony Brook Golf Club. He'll be in studio. We've got a major kicking off, teeing off tomorrow, the British Open, and the wee hours tomorrow, I think 1 a.m. So
1:30, I believe, starts the coverage.
And then I would like to direct all of you to our website, because we will do this together in the 5 o'clock hour, but you can do it now if you want, the 99.3 ESPN at 99.3ESPN.com. Go to the Sheeman and Shepherd Fantasy Golf Game. Go ahead and pick your – you get a $100 gift card that's available for you there at Sunshine Ace Hardware, and that's available as well. So we're going to be pounding that all day, and we're going to do it together live. There is trouble on the set of Space Jam 2. Yes?
What? They don't like the quality of the animated shots, the dunks, the characters?
I'm not sure, but I'm predicting LeBron's behind it somewhere.
Who's Bugs Bunny going to retire? What's going to happen?
There's problems on the set. That's all I'm telling
you.
Wow. We'll
get
into
that
later
on.
We'll have Wikipedia later on today for prizes. So, again, in honor of the 50-year launch anniversary to the moon, I've got Outer Space Space Jam, the moon. I got Outer Space Solar System trivia for you today, Pete Shepard.
Great.
It's much easier than yesterday's lunar.
Yesterday, I didn't do too badly yesterday.
Yeah,
I was very happy with my communion get on Buzz Aldrin.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that was a very good one. So we got a lot going on here today. I want to thank everybody that came out to poker night last night at the Naples-Fort Myers Greyhound track. We had a great time out there. I got to give big ups to Steve, my man. He's gotten me out 2 months in a row now, so he's won 200 off of me. He's very, very good.
My guy,
poker player.
Was it Rick? I think it was Rick in Fort Myers that knocked me out a little bit later after you, but it's tough. Went through a good hour of just, you can't play four deuce. I mean, nine deuce. You can't, it's just, you know.
They were gunning after me last night, man.
Oh, they're always gunning after us. and I get that. But when I got it all in good. I had 9,000 chips left, under 10 big blinds, shoved it all in, and was hoping to at least double up. And I thought I had a monster hand, had the third best hand in poker. The three best hands in poker are aces, or fourth best hand, I should say, aces, kings, queens, then ace, king, suited. Yes, it's a better hand than jacks.
Yeah.
So I had that, shoved all in with my ace, king of hearts, my big slick of hearts, and got called with a queen, jack of spades. Flop, garbage, 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 turn, garbage, and queen hits on the river. Bye-bye, Pete.
Bye-bye, Pete.
Bye-bye, Pete. But it was a fun time.
I saw some dude won $10 million in the World Series of Poker last night. Had a couple pocket kings, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's
the final. Thanks for ruining it for me because I have a tape.
I didn't tell you his name.
But thanks. I actually
Wait,
played.
You tape poker?
Yes.
I know you play poker and you do video poker. You actually tape poker on ESPN2?
You laugh. I don't think you realize the culture.
Man.
It gets ratings. And I'm not the only one. Everybody in that room last night that I talked to was DVR in it. Everybody.
Really?
Yes.
Everybody but me.
You don't care enough about you, but that's a good way to learn.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Is to watch us. Actually, I had a kid at my table last night. I forget his name. I'm sorry. Was it Chris? I forget his name. He just came back from the World Series of Poker. He got knocked out in day three or four.
Really?
And cashed. And, there's a $10,000 buy-in. I think he cashed for, he finished he netted 15 grand, which is good.
Wait a minute. When I'm going out there fighting and playing the best that I can once a month out there at the jog track on our poker night, we're going against professionals? I didn't know this.
Sometimes you are, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that happens. I mean, look, I did it every day for almost a year and a half and still play almost every day. I mean, it's like professional doesn't mean you win every day.
No, but you play
every day. Yeah. And I like to consider myself at least somewhat
semi-pro.
But I just, back then I was getting sponsored to play in tournaments, so you get a certain cut goes to this. And that happens all the time. And it happens all the time in every single poker room around the country. So don't be...
I need to get me one of those sweet deals.
You got to make a final table first.
Well, I'm
just going to show you can make
trying.
Money.
I'm trying.
You can make money. I'm going to sit down with you online someday and play free.
Yeah.
And just so you can play a bunch of hands in an hour. And just coach you, guarantee you, I can make you a better player in an hour just by position and ways of betting. Because I think you're close.
I may take you up
on that. Think you're close.
It won't cost
you any money. Except 10% of your earnings.
Exactly. Yeah, it sounds like there's a hook here. Also, Pete Shepard, take a moment, if you will. I know you are going to be out and about on Saturday. You want to let the people know.
Yeah, this is going to be I think it's fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. Everybody who's been out to Babcock Ranch says it's an amazing experience. I'm dying to get out there, and I will be out there from 10 to noon on Saturday. And it's going to be an amazing experience. It's at 42850 at Crescent Loop in Punta Gorda. Come on out. It's going to be at Babcock Ranch. Going to be a British Open or open viewing party. So here are some of the highlights. First off, before I forget, and I forgot to say this yesterday, my bad. We got some prizes. We're going to be giving away four tickets to Barbara B. Mann's show with Brian Reagan to give away. He's freaking hysterical,
right,
by the way. So we'll have that. But some of the event highlights going on at the Babcock Ranch on Saturday. Obviously, streaming the tournament, the Open, on a huge screen. It's over 30 feet, by the way, in the middle of Founders Square.
Huge.
Chuck the Hitman Trick Shot Golfer will perform from 11 a.m. until noon. Food truck scheduled to be there. Gator John's Barbecue. Gator John's Barbecue, Mama Petite Creperie, a Red Rock Craving, and Squeezer's Lemonade. Snag Golf. Too Tall Tory's going to be there for the kids.
All right.
TaylorMade Golf Rep will be on site. And for Babcock National, the pre-construction savings plus summer value day sale, offering exclusive upgrades and discounts on home sites at closing costs. 18 different home designs, pricing from the upper 100,000s. Can't beat that. Babcock National Golf, Tennis, and Fitness Pros will be on site to speak to the community, amenities, and lifestyles. And for Babcock National, very much like where I am, at Bonita National, Lennar, I have an awesome community to live in. This seems very similar. It's going to be the first gated lifestyle community in Babcock Ranch. It'll feature 18-hole golf course, resort-style pool with tiki bar, sport club with state-of-the-art fitness center, a full-service spa, tennis pro shop, pickleball, bocce ball, a full clubhouse, and formal casual dining. So get on down, and we'll have some fun.
Thank you for that. I do have a little bit of breaking news.
Hello.
May I have the sounder just for fun, just to kind of get things going here that actually involves with college basketball? Breaking news!
Oh, boy.
Breaking news! Former Auburn assistant basketball coach Chuck Person has avoided prison in a bribery scandal that touched some of the biggest schools in college basketball. He was sentenced today to 200 hours of community service during the 2 years probation period that'll be supervising him. The judge said no purpose will be served by incarceration. Mm-hmm. I can't say that word.
Yes.
Apparently, he was in financial trouble at the time. He had accepted $91,000 in bribes to parlay his relationships with top players to steer them to a financial advisor. So Chuck Person not going to the pokey. Good news for him. Staying in the SEC, let's pivot back to football. As you mentioned, Nick Saban talking today, SEC Media Days. I want to hear some of this. You know, he always kind of has that stoic appearance. He always borderlines appearing bored to being friendly. Like, this is his reaching out to the media. Like, always.
Oh, he did that,
good,
too.
Good to see you again.
He did it twice.
Then he bites their heads off for the rest of the year. So let's take a listen.
And we avoided all the minutiae, and we came in. And
we edited out about 7 minutes of this. And we may jump in when I get bored with this.
Are we just starting with the Q&A? We're just going to start with the Q&A.
Let's do it. All right,
because he started in with minutiae and student-athlete garbage, which I don't care about. I don't care graduate. I don't care about that stuff. Nobody does. We care about the team and the play and the state of the team and the mentality after getting whacked by Clemson last year.
All right, here's some Nick Saban from today.
Stephen Smith, Touchdown Alabama Magazine. First off, happy to see you here, Coach. Happy to hip surgery went well for you. My question to you is, Alabama in the last couple of years, they've had strong quarterback play with Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts. You've had balance. You've had not just talent.
Thanks for the update, guys.
Experience. My question is, where has Mac Jones grew the most to you? Where has he grown as a player? Where has he grown as a person to? If he was to be in a situation, you feel comfortable with Mac Jones in the offense?
This is your first question?
Right. Well, Mac has made a lot of improvements. He's matured very nicely at the position. I think he's a very bright guy. He's got good knowledge of the position. You know, Mac's a very emotional guy, so we like to try to get guys to play with emotion, but not be emotional.
He's a backup quarterback, by the way, in case you don't know.
You don't make good decisions, and that's one of the things that we worked really hard, and he's made a lot of progress in that area. And, you know, his consistency and performance has been very, very good. He did get to play some last year, so this is not going to be totally foreign to him if he has to go in a game and play. And hopefully we'll have good enough players around him that it will help him have a chance to succeed. But we've been pleased with his progress. We're confident that he's capable. It's our job to be able to get him to a point where he has enough consistency to be able to go in there and play if we need him to.
Coach, will stay in this front section in the third row right in front of us.
Listening to Nick Saban's press conference.
Hey, Coach, Jeffrey Winborn with the Daily Mountain Eagle. After the loss to Clemson last season in a national championship, is that something that you or the other leaders in the locker room are using as motivation or an example to get back to the standard you were speaking of?
Well, I think that if you're a great competitor and you are in a game like we were for the national championship and you didn't perform very well and given all the credit to the other team who beat us and took advantage of the opportunities that they have, not to take anything away from them. But if you're a competitor, you're going to respond in a positive way and learn from the things that you didn't do, whether those things were in preparation, game day decisions, you know, the habits that you created leading up to the game, the second half of the season, you know, all those things contribute to, are we going to be able to have success against one of the best teams or the best team in the country? And we obviously didn't do that. That's my responsibility. But I think that our players learned a lot from that experience. I think that we didn't play with the discipline at the end of the season that we'd like to have as a team. I don't think that our preparation so that we could win a game and be very responsible and accountable to do our job at a high level on a consistent basis was what it needed to be. And, you know,
remember that
interesting comment there.
People were worried about personal outcomes more than they were team outcomes. It's always hard to judge that, but it seems like we had a lot of distractions at the end of the year. So hopefully we learn from those scenarios, and that will help us do the things that we need to do to be able to, you know, play to our full potential throughout the season.
Coach, we'll go over to our left-hand side on the second row. Bob?
Hey, Nick, Bob Holt, Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I think you're 16-0.
There we go.
Against your former assistant.
Is this that guy?
Yeah. Seven or eight guys. How do you feel about that stat? Do you think any of these guys are ever going to beat you? And how much longer? I think you're facing three of them this season.
Well, I think that that's not a very fair stat. You know, all the former assistants that we have that get jobs, they don't take a program over that has the established, you know, talent, culture, and all that that we have at Alabama. So when they get the opportunity to establish those things in their program, they're going to be able to beat Alabama and compete with Alabama. So that's, you know, something that, you know, most of the time when you get a job, it's because the guy that was before you didn't do a very good job. So you have lots of work to do to bring that team to that level. And obviously, you know, I think a lot of those guys are going to be able to do that extremely well. Some have done it already. So I think it's a matter of time until those challenges get greater and greater for us.
All right, we'll go in the middle section about three quarters of the way back.
Coach Ben Port, iCommercial Dispatch. Just when you look at Tua and his progression, obviously he's had one full year as the starting quarterback. What do you see as kind of his next progression, next step to take going into this year?
The NFL.
Well, I think Tua is the kind of guy that's never really satisfied, and I think he had an outstanding year last year. Are there things that he can improve on? I don't think there's any question about that. You know, toward the end of the season, we turned the ball over a little bit more offensively than what we had in the first half of the season. And I'm sure that he wants to make sure that the decision-making that led to some of those things are something that he can improve on. I think that, you know, we'd like for him to learn. Tua is a great competitor, so he's going to try to make a play every play. And sometimes those things have worked out extremely well, and other times they've led to some disasters. So having a little better judgment about when to say when can be an asset from a health standpoint as well as a eliminate negative play standpoint, even though sometimes he's done that and, you know, it's worked out great. But we're happy to have him as a leader of our team. He's got great character. He's a hard worker. He affects his teammates in a really positive way. I think he's very well respected by his teammates. And, you know, he's obviously been as productive as anybody at his position in the country. So hopefully we can build on that.
Let's hang in with one more.
Right here in
one
front
more
of
Nick Saban.
Yeah,
first row.
Good morning, Coach Saban. Kerry Clark with Bama Central and Starkville Daily News. Kind of a two-part question. On special teams, who are the candidates to replace Josh Jacobs on kick return? And on defense, who, if anyone, is pushing Josh McMillan at inside linebacker?
Ryan Robinson and Henry Ruggs, I'm telling you.
Look at you.
Well, we have several candidates of guys that, you know, are kickoff return guys
Jalen
that we
Watt,
think are
maybe
very capable. You know, Jalen Wall is a great return guy. Is he going to be the kickoff return guy? Maybe. You know, Ruggs is really good at that. You know, we've got several running backs who are pretty good at it. So I don't think that we've made a total decision on that yet. I think that's one of the questions that we have in fall camp is, you know, to how that goes. We have a couple young linebackers. We'll see how they progress. You know, the thing Josh does is he's been in the program for a long time. He understands what he has to do to be successful at the position. He is a thumper. He's very physical.
A thumper.
And so, you know,
that means he hits hard.
That's good. A
someone
thumper.
Else develops from that core group of linebackers to play with the consistency that we need sort of remains to be seen. And maybe they can play in regular. Maybe they can play in nickel. Maybe Josh can play in regular. Maybe Josh can play in nickel.
All right, that is Nick Saban earlier today. And now here's where I want to tie this back together later on in the program. It was very early on in this conversation with Nick Saban. Talked about losing discipline at the end of the season. Paul Feinbaum picked up on that in his Q&A with him later on. We're going to dig that up.
And it was personal outcome as opposed to team outcome.
Yeah.
And
I think we can dive into that a little deeper.
You absolutely can. And I think Feinie and McElroy and company on the SEC Network picked up on it, obviously. And they ask him more in depth about it.
All right. So we'll get into that. More SEC days. The ACC has its media day. We'll cherry pick what we can off of that as well.
Let me ask you this, Craig, real quick.
Yeah.
When do you think one of Nick Saban's assistants will beat him? Being facetious. I hear that. I almost swore.
This
I
year.
I hear that question one more time this year. We hear it every week.
How many times have you heard it in the last 48 hours?
It's ridiculous.
This is about four or five times.
I don't ask the SEC people. I especially ask Mullen that. Yeah. Hey, Dan. What do you think one of Nick's assistants will beat him?
I'll tell you when. whenever Georgia beats him. Whenever Georgia gets over the hump. That'll be it, right? All right. So we got a lot to do, a lot to scratch on the surface here. We'll get to, don't forget, later on, I'm going to play talk some golf. We'll have our good friend Jeff Nixon in the studio. You can hear his show every Sunday here on 99.3 ESPN. We'll also have our pick'em for the 99.3ESPN.com Scheman and Shepherd fantasy golf game for the British Open, which starts tomorrow. A lot to do. Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PChef326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for checking us out. Hump Day Wednesday for you. Later on, Jeff Nixon in studio. We'll talk some golf. Got the British Open tomorrow. I'm sorry, the Open tomorrow.
I call it the British Open.
Thank you.
I will not.
It's the Open Championship, Craig.
The Open Championship. Why? Is it because this is like where golf was invented and all that stuff? And then, like, yeah, they invented golf, and they invented golf courses, but we perfected them here in America with our nice green courses.
For the champion golfer of the world.
That was sort of snotty.
Yeah, by me or by him?
You. I thought, like thumbing your nose at, not every course is a Lynx course out in Great Britain.
I haven't seen a decent-looking course on the other side of the pond ever. Ever. Sometimes they're green, sometimes they're not. They're not very well kept. They don't know what a sprinkler system is. They don't know what a lawnmower is, for God's sake.
I think the weather has a lot to do with it.
Well, some of course, areas. Sure. Sure, it does.
But I think it's...
But usually it's on a field of wheat.
It's irresponsible of you.
It's a field of wheat.
It's irresponsible of you to print to paint such a broad brush of golf snobbyism.
And just because we make golf courses prettier doesn't mean we make them better.
Oh, I disagree. Well, what's finer than a nice, lush, green golf course where your golf ball just skyrockets into the air
and
comes on down and sticks on a nice, soft green?
Or you get a nice Lynx course where my 215 to 20-yard drive will go 320 yards because of the roll I get. That's not bad either.
Yeah, but Brooks Koepka will go 400 yards.
I don't care about Brooks Koepka. It's about my golf game. I'm talking about what I would like.
All right. Well, we will we'll invite you all to go to our 99.3ESPN.com website.
You're what's wrong with golf.
I'm what's wrong with everything according to you. Snobbyism. I'm what's wrong with Netflix. I'm what's wrong with HBO.
Well, you start series at season 3. You don't start at season 1. You watch Game of Thrones one episode at season 7.
That's how I roll. I'm a very busy person. Did you see how fast I'm aging on the Age app? I don't have much time left. I don't have time to watch all these series and sit around and watch TV like you.
We don't look good. But, Chris, the Megan Rapinoe remark by the one guy on Facebook, it says it all.
Well, we used to say he looks like Ellen DeGeneres. Now a little older, now he's Megan Rapinoe. What is
Margaritaville says he looks like a girl's softball coach.
Well, whatever that looks like for you. All right. So go to our website, 993ESPN.com, the Sheeman and Shepherd Fantasy Golf Game. Go ahead and pick your golf. You can win a $100 gift certificate from Sunshine Ace Hardware. And we are going to make our picks in the 5 o'clock hour. So get on that now. All right. If you just joined us, we were listening a little bit to Nick Saban as we've been following all week, SEC Media Days. By the way, we're still efforting ACC Media Days. They are nowhere near as developed and available as
just,
the SEC.
It's hard to find sound that's available unless you listen to it live.
Yeah. So we'll
but we're still trying.
We are going to talk about the ACC Media Days in just a little bit.
Yeah, we are.
But just to follow up, and not to make this an all Nick's, it's almost like Chris is still here. It's annoying talking about Bama and Roll Tide. So Nick Saban was doing his Q&A with the media, and we played some of this last segment where he talked about how he didn't think his team was as focused and disciplined at the end of the season and personal goals were ahead of team goals. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if he was talking about the players or the coaches on his staff, but he did elaborate that a little bit. We have some audio now with his sit-down with Fanny.
Greg McElroy and...
All right, let's take a listen because he does dive into this, and I find this fascinating. This might be something we can talk about for the rest of the day. Go ahead.
Nick Saban, the head coach with us here. A couple of years ago, you came in and you used the line, don't waste a failure. It's a beautiful line. I've used it at home dozens of times since then. Is it something that you have to say again? Like, how has been the bounce back to this point?
Well, I think it's just, you know, knowledge and experience of when you fail, you know, you want to try to get it fixed. And I think if you're a competitor, you know, nobody likes to lose. And we have some great competitors on our team, and they certainly responded the right way. But I think, you know, people basically respond better when things go poorly than they do when things go well. All right, so when you win a lot, it's more challenging to get people to keep doing the things the way they need to do them, to the standard that they need to do them, so that they're creating the right habits so that you don't get exposed when you play somebody that's really good. And I think that kind of happened to us last year, and that's obviously my responsibility.
You mentioned distractions up there, and it just seems like internally there were a lot of things going on. Did you have a sense that maybe things weren't going well, everyone wasn't on the same page going into the game?
Well, I think when the season started, I think we were great. Right. You know, and I've said this before, when we won the LSU game, you know, it just seemed like people's own agendas started to become a little more important. And I think
is that coaching or players?
Coaching.
Right?
And you know, we had a lot of guys that were going to be head coaches different places. And it really takes a special person to stay focused on what they're doing now when they have a job someplace else that is awaiting them and the responsibilities and hiring staffs and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not being critical of those people. It's just very challenging.
Sound critical to
and
me.
We had a lot of that on our staff last year. And I think those relationships with players, you know, go a long way to keeping players where they need to be to do the things that they need to do to continue to prepare, practice the way they need to practice so that they can continue to improve and get better. And we didn't do that very well at the end of the year
last
year.
All right, that's what I want to talk about. Let's thank you for that. That's with the SEC Network. I want to credit them for that. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, and keep the rest because I want to see if there's any follow-up to that. I have a feeling there is.
Okay.
But yes, but very, very – you don't hear a lot of coaches do this.
And I don't know what you're supposed to do.
Is it a cop-out by Nick to throw them under the bus? Because that's what he did, so to speak. Is he did say he took some responsibility. And, you know, it's his fault that that happened.
Well, you get the feeling that he's always cranky at the end of the year because, guys, look, your Patriots go through the same thing every year. Everybody wants a Bill Belichick assistant, and they got to go through this through the playoffs every year as well. What is the responsibility? You are trying to be a head coach, whether it be in the NFL or college football. You've been offered a $5 million a year job. What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to hang in there through the bowl game and give your all? Are you not allowed to check in on your next job yet? Obviously, Nick Saban's expectations are you don't even acknowledge your new job. Barely do I give you time to go interview for it and then get back here and get ready for our bowl game, right?
Yes, I agree. I think
is that fair?
When you're talking about the Patriots, as far as that goes,
Well, I think it applies to both.
I don't ever remember Bill ever saying this particular coach wasn't prepared for the Super Bowl or any of that stuff ever. Through all the Josh McDaniels and Vrabels and the O'Briens, the list is endless. He always was very fair, I think, that I know. And the only interviews I did with all that, I will say this. The one time it absolutely was, it took him a year to admit it in a book written by my friend Michael Holly.
Yeah.
But there is no question that when Bill Parcells was being courted by the Jets when he was coaching the Patriots and that whole week of Super Bowl before Green Bay,
yeah,
there was a distraction there. There is no doubt about it. He let it happen. He was adamant about it. He was bitching about it. He hated the media, everything else. And then at the end, after the book, he admitted in the book that he did let it affect his coaching by his way.
But it's human nature.
The way that all went down, I can tell you that was absolutely distraught. But that was a different set of circumstances. But I can tell you, Bill Parcells admitted it in a book. Finally, it was distracting. He made it that way.
But my impression of the Josh McDaniels thing when he took the Colts job and didn't take the Colts job, and it was almost the impression I got. I could be wrong. The impression I got was that Josh was almost, I don't want to say scared or intimidated, but it's like he didn't bring it up at all to Bill Belichick because they were in playoff mode and he didn't want to disturb him to say, hey, I've got to go fly out and do a quick interview and come back. It's like it never brought it up. And then when it all came to a head, it was a mess.
I don't know if I'm buying that. I don't know if I'm buying that.
He said he didn't really talk to him. He said they never talked about it like 2 weeks into the process when we were all talking about it.
You might be right. The only theory I'll buy into is maybe they had a wink-wink handshake conversation that said, when I'm done, you're going to take over as head coach.
I think that came later, though.
Yeah.
I think it came right on the day the Colts debacle happened.
But getting back to Nick, he's got these guys, the top programs have assistants leave all the time. And I'm just wondering, look, is it the assistant coach's fault that Tua Tagovailoa was throwing picks all over the place in the championship game? I mean, that's what he's got to,
I don't know, was it?
Well, I think a lot of it was. Sometimes, even though they're kids, you can blame the players a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not all the coaching all the time. You know, all of a sudden, in that game, in that environment, he didn't play particularly well. It happens. Hey, yeah. Vinny Testaverde threw five picks against Penn State back in the day, on a 14-10 loss. I don't think that had anything to do with Jimmy Johnson not coaching him well or the assistants to you.
No.
Yeah, bad game.
Now, we're tight on time here. Did you want to go back to that tape for a minute, or do you want to save that for later?
We can save it for later.
We'll do that. Yeah. We still have Sound Street. Well, I want to get into the ACC as well. We've spent a lot of time on the SEC the last 3 days, so we got a lot going on. And trouble on the set at Space Jam 2.
Uh-oh.
Bron, what's going on? So we got a lot to cover. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, we'll continue talking football. Jimbo Fisher yesterday talking about, hey, it's not brain surgery here at A&M. The goal is to be Bama.
You got to play 60 minutes and play well and play well in the game. I mean, it's not going to be any brain surgery. Believe in you can win and go in and play in the game. I mean, they have a tremendous program, but they're a football team too that can have ups and downs. You have to go play a very good football game. That's what it's going to take because they have good players, they're well coached, and they expect to win. They've built a culture of winning. And I'm not trying to be smart. I mean, that's literally what it's going to take. You got to go play a very good football game, expect to win, and make the plays when you have the opportunities.
Meanwhile, yesterday, Texas, hook 'em horns, Tom Herman was talking about a little rift that's been going on. If you haven't paid attention, we have not talked about this much, but guys like Baker Mayfield and Terry Bradshaw have been taking shots at Sam Ehlinger, their quarterback. Now, Baker Mayfield and Ehlinger, I think their high schools go back to being rivals. That's what started all this. Tom Herman defending his guy.
I don't know if excited was the first emotion. I heard it. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I told you I don't know what you're talking about. I certainly do, but it's irrelevant. What other people say about us and our program doesn't doesn't really faze us. And so the irrelevancy of it, you know, was at an all-time high. You know, I do know, you know, our guys, they file certain things away. You know, we had a bowl game recently where, you know, guys were, the other team was very disrespectful, and that gave us some motivation leading up to the bowl game. And, you know, Sam loves to play with a chip on his shoulder, and I'm sure he'll use this to crank it up a notch. But it is, again, it's pretty irrelevant in terms of how it affects our program. We're worried about our program.
Sure. All right, that is Tom Herman yesterday. Baseball, Cubs win over the Reds 4-3-10. Kyle Schwarber, the walk-off.
High drive to left. Is it enough? Cubs win! Kyle Schwarber in the 10th.
Cubs TV with the call. Hey, guess who else had a walk-off? It was only a double, not a home run, but he actually earned some of his money yesterday.
Finally.
Bryce Harper, here's the walk-off double. Phillies beat the Dodgers.
And a line drive into center field. That's going to drop for a base hit. It gets past Pollock, goes to the wall. One run scores. Here comes Kingery. The Phils are going to win the ball game. Bryce Harper hits a laser out to center field, and the Phillies win it 9-8.
I think it's the first time we've mentioned his name in a play.
Hanging on for the final wild card
since
spot.
He signed. Yep. Yeah, barely. All right, this is funny. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Tiger Woods, in his press conference getting ready for the British Open, recently gave a story how he lobbed a text to Brooks Koepka about maybe doing a practice round together, and he got ghosted. Never heard back from him.
Tell you a funny story. I texted Brooksy, you know, congratulations on another great finish. What he's done in the last four major championships and has been just unbelievable. He'd be so consistent, so solid, so. He's been in contention to win, you know, each and every major championship. And I said, hey, dude, you know, you mind if I, you know, tag along and play a practice round? I've heard nothing.
Tiger Woods on Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka responded. Says, you know, I really don't practice before non-major tournaments when he was asking to practice.
I just practice before the majors. Regular tournaments, I don't practice. If you see me on TV, that's when I play golf.
What does that mean? He's joking, right?
No, I don't think he is. I think he means he'll warm up before. Well, he might do a practice round and but I don't think he does practice rounds unless it's a major. And I don't think he practices all that much unless it's right, you know, a couple hours before he goes out.
By practice, you mean a round. He's still hitting the driving range every day, right? And
I don't think so.
You have to.
I don't think so.
I'm calling BS.
I'll ask Jeff. I don't think so.
How much does your game improve or fail on whether you've played a lot? You've got to play every day, right? I can't wait to get Jeff Nixon in here and ask him about this.
With him, though, I mean, but Brooks is a little different. And I don't think he spends 5 or 6 hours a day on the golf course. I don't. I think he spends.
You've got to be on the driving range.
I think I take him at his word when he says, does he do practice rounds before majors? Yes. Does he do them in regular tournaments? No. And as far as warming up, yeah, I think he warms up before he's ready to tee off, but I don't think he's out there 5-6 hours before tee off time during a regular tournament.
No, I'm talking about during the week, every day. You've got to practice in a driving range situation and work on your shots and shake your shots daily.
So. Well,
Not
5 hours a day. So if he's playing, then say he was playing in the John Deere Classic last week, which he didn't.
Right, right.
Say he was. You're getting there on a Tuesday.
You don't think
the
week before he's out there 5-6 days on a driving range?
I mean, you got to remember, you guys are playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're warming up before the start, right? An hour or two before.
I don't count warm-ups.
But I'm talking about they get there. Some of them get there on Mondays or Tuesdays. They might play a practice round or two for majors. But I don't think, say for the John Deere tournament last week in Illinois, I don't think Brooks Koepka would be out there on a Tuesday for 5 hours hitting golf balls. I don't. I take him at his word for that.
There's no way I believe that.
Now, Jeff will be able to give you some great insight on that because a guy we've had on the Sunday Morning Golf Show a couple of times, a guy named Warren Botke, is a good friend of Jeff's, and he was Brooks Koepka's coach when he was an amateur, when he was a teenager.
Really? Golf coach, yeah. Yes, I think I remember Jeff saying that's
so
great.
So Jeff has a lot of insight into Brooks Koepka.
Very good. All right, that's an hour from now. Jeff will be in studio. We shall discuss. I find this fascinating. So maybe the secret to me playing better golf is to never practice.
Well, no, there's practicing, but even on the driving range before I play, I don't hit a gazillion balls. I hit like 15. There's four clubs
use. You're talking about warm-ups. I'm talking about shaping your shots, going through every club in your bag.
Yeah, yes.
Tiger does that, at least used to, every day. Just used to pound.
I don't think he does either.
I don't think he does now. That's why he sucks.
I don't think he sucks.
He doesn't have the form that he had from the mat. He's basically mailing it in. That doesn't mean he sucks.
It means he can't get back.
He can't win to
major form. But we'll discuss it.
That's what it takes to win major. That's why I'm calling BS on Brooks.
Look, I don't know everybody's schedule of how many hours a day that they practice. I mean, you could practice 3 hours putting a day too if you wanted to.
Yeah, some guys do.
And maybe some guys devote that day. Tuesday's this. Wednesday's that.
That's what I'm saying. Brooks,
you got to take a day off once in a while.
I agree with that. But I'm saying you just can't just go from major to major and just show up. You can't be good.
I think you're misunderstanding what he's saying. I think he warms up before he participates in a non-major.
I think you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I don't count warming up.
But warming up could be 2-3 hours before a tournament.
I'm talking about going out
there. That's hitting a lot of balls. Warming up for 3 hours before a tournament, you hit a lot of balls.
I don't think he warms up 3 hours. I see these guys warming up for about a half hour before
they
warm
up. What's on television. You don't know what time they get there.
See it live. You say, Tiger Woods has just showed up. He comes up. We watch him
on the driving range. But he could be doing other things on a putting green or a chipping thing that they don't show. They show the driving range. They don't show the putting green a lot. They don't show where guys are chipping out of the bottom bunkers. He could be there for an hour doing that. You don't see that.
Well, he claims he doesn't do that, and that's what I'm calling BS on. All right, Jeff Nixon at the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to talk some ACC football.
He marks to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, he does. He does say he lifts weights before matches too, which is bizarre. I do believe that. All right, and trouble on the set with LeBron and Space Jam 2. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.